paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Lines are open 24/7. Call 800-410-8015. That's 800-410-8015. Again, 800-410-8015.
Your money on WGN. The Dow's up 261 points. NASDAQ up 51. The S&P 500 up 18. WGN Sports. The Cubs play Pittsburgh tonight. The White Sox take on Kansas City. WGN Traffic. Jill Egan.
On Eden's inbound, it is nice and light. 16, Lake Cook to the Junction. Outbound's clear, too. The Kennedy out to O'Hare, 26 minutes. 12 to the Junction. Express lanes are open outbound, and those are 8. Inbound, 28 from O'Hare to downtown, 18 from the Junction in. On the Ike, it's 21 minutes out to Wolf now. 35 to Thorndale. Inbound, 32. The Stevenson out to the Tri-State, 27 and 37. Out to the Veterans Tollway. Inbound, 32 from the Veterans Tollway to Lakeshore Drive. The Ryans, 20 out to 95th. Inbound, 24. Delays, as Kim mentioned, on the green, orange, and pink lines. This is all because of an earlier fire near the tracks near Roosevelt. West Chicago still has a crash at North Avenue near Powys and in Addison. Route 83 is blocked off both directions between 290 and 3rd Avenue. This is reportedly a jackknife semi and a dump truck is involved, so that might be closed for a bit. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app pre-approved by AccuNet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Jill Egan, WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast, partly sunny skies, mild, a beautiful day, a high of 75. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a shower possible late, a low of 58. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, O'Hare 75, Midway 77, Elgin 73. The wind's blowing from the south at 16 miles an hour. The barometer's falling along the lakefront, 62. I'm Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Mexico, in some form, will reimburse us. Mm-hmm.
Here's John Williams.
That's what we do. I'm still just tickled by the bowler. Did you hear any of that, Kim? The guy that rolled the 300?
Yeah, and he's amazing. And you know, really, I love to bowl. So what, to me, makes it even harder what he did is that he went from lane to lane to lane. Because I feel like when you get your spot and you know where you want to aim and then you get comfortable in one lane and then when you keep moving, that makes it harder.
Yeah, he'd run over, grab a ball, then immediately toe his line. You put his lines, toes on the line, but then he didn't think about it. He didn't have time. He just ran up and whipped the ball and he never even watched. The ball would leave his hand and then he would immediately start to run to the next alley before the next lane before he even saw what happened. You know, he didn't do the thing where you sit there and urge the ball on and then jump up into a victory jump. He didn't do that. He was like, he didn't have time. He's trying to break the record for the fastest 300 ever rolled. It was very fun to watch. And it's on my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook if you want to see it there. Ted Heston's on a phone line. He's a political, he's a Politico employment and immigration reporter. We reached out to him to talk to us a little bit about this budget impasse. That may not be fair. Maybe they'll get things done. But the budget deadline that is looming and the fact that the president at least seemed to want to use that deadline to get the funding that he wanted for the wall, a couple billion dollars. Actually, I think this first pitch is for $1.2 billion to actually get the wall up and running. The total cost will be many times that. But you think you could play chicken with that and say, I know what's going to happen. They're not going to shut down the government. Let's tack the bill on for the initial phase of funding for the wall, and then we'll get it. It's controversial. Some people really want it. Some people don't. But it appears as though the president doesn't have all the support in the House and Senate that he wants. So even among Republicans, so let's tack it on there. They're not going to vote against, they're not going to shut the government down. So then we'll get it that way. That's a tried and true tactic. He's not the first one to dream something like that up. But the question is that amendment then going to be so toxic that in fact it will shut the government down? That's the game of chicken you play. That's politics. That's the art of the political deal, sir. So let's talk to Ted and see where we are on this. Hey, Ted, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN. How are you, Ted?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you for having me.
Is that that's my description of what's happening right now? Is that apt? Is that about what's going on?
I think that's about right. You know, what's happened is the president would like to see the border wall or some funding for the border wall included in the spending bill. And I think they're talking about $1.4 billion to get things started. Now, there has been a bit of back and forth. And, you know, over the weekend, Trump and some of his top advisors were out making the case for why the spending should be in there. Then last night here in D.C., at a meeting of conservative media outlets, there were reports that Trump actually said he would be okay with delaying the spending until September and essentially letting this temporary spending measure go forward and then dealing with it down the road. Now, this morning, it sounded like we're back to square one because he was on Twitter saying again that, don't believe what you hear. I want the funding for the border wall. And we're going to get it.
I saw that tweet this morning, and I was confused by that, maybe intentionally in his case. Does he by that mean he's going to get it by Friday, or he's going to get it sometime in the next few months?
I would say it wasn't entirely clear, and I think that's where things stand right now. So I think what you see a lot of reporters here in the Capitol are looking to Congress to see what they think about it, because ultimately they're the ones who will decide if this is in the spending bill, and he'll have the chance to veto it if he wants to. But, you know, they'll be the ones who are shaping the bill and say, do we want to devote $1.4 billion to this right now?
Well, I know how Democrats will vote. At least I know how they feel about that. How do Republicans feel about that?
Well, as you mentioned, Democrats have had this unified front from the beginning against border wall funding at this time that said it's a poison pill and they won't vote for a bill that has it in it. Now, Republicans have been quieter about it, but there are certainly a faction of folks who don't seem ready to deal with it right now and would much rather kick the can down the road, at the very least until September, and make sure the government doesn't shut down on Friday and stays running.
I'm reading a quote in the Chicago Tribune today, border state Republican Will Hurd, he's a Republican from Texas, said, there is no question that we must secure our border, but we need an intelligence-led approach. He said that building a wall is the most expensive and least effective way to secure the border. So he's behind the cause, but not the means that the president is using here. That does not sound like a yes vote to me for $1.4 billion.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, a survey I saw, I believe it was done by the Wall Street Journal on Friday, found that no Congress member coming from a border district was supportive of the wall. Not all of them were opposed necessarily, but no one was coming out and saying, I support putting funding for the wall into this spending bill. So that tells you something when you have all these representatives along the border and they're not out there in front advocating for this. You think they would be if it was really important to them.
Yeah. Well, but that also doesn't necessarily tell us how they'll vote, right? I mean, suppose they don't think that's the best way to do it, but they also don't want to be on the no side when it comes to the $1 trillion financing to keep the government going. So maybe I'm reading too much into their attitude about the wall and how they would vote on the wall attached to the budget bill. You know what I mean?
I think that's fair enough. I think there's people who will be quieter about it, who may have their doubts about it, but when push comes to shove, if they're a Republican, they may say, well, let's go ahead and vote for this spending bill that our leadership has crafted. Now, that said, to get this through the Senate, they'll still need Democratic votes, and I think perhaps the more centrist of Republicans in the Senate will realize that they aren't likely to get those and that it potentially could lead to a shutdown. And maybe that's just something they don't want to deal with at this point. I'm not going to make predictions on it. It seems like by the day that this has kind of swung back and forth as to whether they will try and include the spending or not. But I will say it seems like there's certainly a moderate faction of Republicans who would rather see this move forward without it and the government be funded come Friday.
My own view is that on health care, the president blinked rather than have a vote. I mean, maybe those guys would have changed their votes. At least he could have stuck on them with their votes, the failure to get the repeal of Obamacare. But he didn't. He said, okay, then let's pull it off the table. We won't even have a vote on that. I think that's an interesting strategy. If he backs away from insisting that this funding be attached to the bill, then you know, the funding for the wall, that's him. I wonder if that could be interpreted as him blinking again.
I think that's right, and perhaps that's what the White House feared when they came out so strongly over the weekend and saying that they wanted the wall funding in the spending bill. I mean, we're coming up on the 100 days, first 100 days that the president has been in office, and while that's a pretty arbitrary measure, there still will be plenty of articles written about it, and we all know the president watches cable television as well, and they'll be talking about it too. And I think he would like to see a success or some kind of victory, whether it be on the border wall or whether it be on the health care bill. And at this point, it's not clear that's going to come.
Well, if you were, as we near, it's interesting because you have sort of a confluence of some interesting things here. The arbitrary and artificial 100-day measure of how a president is doing. You have this budget bill that needs to be passed. You also have the White House press correspondents' dinner, all falling within about 48 hours. So it's just kind of an interesting time to take measure of how the president is doing. What would you say are his greatest accomplishments in these first 100 days?
You know, well, we're looking specifically at immigration, or at least I am here. So, you know, we're talking about the border wall and the struggles to find funding. At the same time, there have been a lot of ways that he's changed the immigration system through smaller policy changes, through even the way he talks about illegal immigration and wanting to combat it. I think one thing that DHS put out, a statistic that in March, the number of arrests along the southern border were at their lowest rate in 17 years. And that's a pretty convincing number, at least for the short term. And it shows that most likely people were wondering if they crossed to the U.S. that potentially they're going to face consequences that aren't agreeable under the Trump administration.
Yeah, right.
Now, that said, does that hold in the long term? I can't necessarily say.
But at least right now you could read that as the tough talk. At least the tough talk is working, right? It's having some effect.
On that particular issue, and I think the administration has brought that figure out and said this is evidence of that happening. And I think there's been other immigration policies where he's promised a crackdown, and he's doing it. And it's not, you know, the travel ban, which we've talked about, which temporarily suspended visitors from several Muslim-majority countries. Now, that might be frozen in court, but still there's this message out there, and I think there has been a cumulative effect.
Well, was it Politico that said that there are more crimes committed per capita by Native Americans than by immigrants?
I don't know if that was us that said it, and I would probably have to do a Google search to verify it. I do know that, maybe I'm confusing your question, but as far as U.S.-born Americans, yes, they're incarcerated about double the rate that someone who's here illegally would be.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. I want to make sure I heard that right. So I think that's really what I was trying to recollect, that native-born Americans, not American Indians, but people that are born in the United States are incarcerated at twice the rate of people who come here illegally?
That's correct. And it's essentially, it's a kind of common myth that illegal immigration is linked to crime. And I think the studies that I've seen, and this is one of them, will show that when it comes to incarceration, you have people that are undocumented immigrants are incarcerated about half as much, I guess is another way to say it, as U.S.-born individuals.
Well, one last thing I just want to press upon you, and then I'll let you go, and I'll take some calls on this particular thing. Good policy or bad policy? Like it or not, Donald Trump did campaign on that. People voted for him for a reason, and it's a lot of things, like they want a conservative Supreme Court justice, and they want to revamp health care, and they want that wall. Good Lord, was that a signature of his campaign? So I don't blame him for following through on this any way he can. This is his pledge. You know, he's kind of damned if he doesn't here. I think he needs to, in some way, follow through on that. That's what you do when you become president. I think my question for you and for our listeners is, do you want to front the cost, though? A, do you want the wall still? And B, do you want it so much that you'll pay for it up front and then hope that we get the money back from Mexico? Is that still part of the plan, Ted, that Mexico ultimately pays for this?
You know, the president has tweeted that. I think he is saying it from time to time. When you speak to lawmakers here, they seem less certain of that. And I think there's been no plan presented that would show Mexico would pay for it. So I think right now, on Capitol Hill, when they're looking at who's going to pay for the wall, the answer is taxpayers are going to pay for it. And I think if they can find a way to do that, they can move forward with the project. But that's the challenge that he faces right now.
Hmm. Nice to talk to you, Ted. I appreciate your time and expertise. Let's visit again, okay?
Thank you so much.
Ted Hessen writes for Politico. He is the employment and immigration reporter there. You can answer that question for me. 312-981-7200. How do you feel about fronting the cost? I mean, I know you want the wall. Maybe you don't want the wall. But either way, we're going to pay for it up front and then hope that we can get the money back from Mexico somehow. Like he said, don't ask me how. But what do you think about that? 312-981-7200. I'll take your call right now. Pick up a couple of phone lines. Hey, Mick, it's John. How are you? You're on the air.
John, good afternoon.
Hey.
I tell you what, I get steamed when I even hear the word wall. This is the biggest jerk move ever. Why not take this money? For one thing, the drug guys are going to get their drugs in. If he thinks he's stopping these cartels from getting it in, that's not happening. They're going to find another way in. Take that money, educate people, drug prevention. You know, give them opportunities. Maybe they don't think about going to drugs. One, two. This whole idea, why not make Mexico a good trading partner? Work with them. Create jobs down there. People who are born in Mexico want to live in Mexico. The idea of coming over here, maybe it's appealing to some. But I just think this whole idea of creating this divide is ridiculous. And they haven't even begun to discuss the money it's going to take for the land that they need to buy to create all this. He's pandering to people's fears. It is unbelievable. I hope every Democrat and some Republicans stand tall and do not let this thing happen, because it is a disaster. All this, we have not a clue as to what this would finally cost. And, John, there are parts of that border that they can't even create a wall.
That's the thing. You look at that and you go, it would take $1 zillion to plow through some of that, to say nothing of the river. You got the river. Where are you going to put the wall there?
The whole thing to me just makes my blood boil that he's able to sit here and convince people that this is the thing to do. And
it
absolutely is not.
I got it, bud. I'm really glad you called.
All right, bud.
It's too early to start drinking. Now what are you going to do? Get on the treadmill. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, it's your turn. You're on WGN.
Thank you for taking my call. This is quite an issue. Your previous guest, not this last caller, but the previous guy said that the crime rate was twice of our regular citizens. But if there's one or two, if you talk to those people that lost children that were shot by crooks and criminals that Mr. Obama gave guns to, that he was never prosecuted for, he and Eric Holder with that Fast and Furious, you don't hear any more about that, do you? They slam everything under the rug. He ought to be prosecuted for that.
So you're,
if I did one of those things, we'd be behind in jail.
So you're for the wall and you're for funding the wall up front, right? That's the question.
We'll get it back. We'll charge him, bring anything over the border.
That's why I asked. Bob, thanks for the phone call. So Bob says fund it and we'll bill him later and we'll get the money. How about Mike? What did you want to say, Mike? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm a veteran, and I know the American people voted, and the squeaky wheel, the people are getting tired of catering to the squeaky wheels, and pretty much are saying enough's enough. And people are saying, we voted for a man to do a job, and the people are tired. I say go for the wall. If you look at the southern border between Mexico and Guatemala, that wall looks like something out of a Supermax prison you would see in a movie theater or on TV. And they built it, and nobody says anything about that. We want to do something to protect us. We're at fault. Where's all the people that have all this money, the Hollywood liberals, the liberals in the government, why aren't they taking their personal funds and educating people?
I got you loud and clear. I appreciate your phone call. Mike, thanks for jumping in here. I'm not exactly sure what wall he's talking about between Mexico and Guatemala. But this came up on our Saturday show, and that is, guess who put up a wall between them and the border? Mexico did. They did it with one of their other neighbors, and then they did exactly what we're trying to do to them, and that is they got them to pay for it. And then you look at the wall, and it looks like a Supermax prison. It looks like a wall you are not getting across. If you look that up on Snopes, they say that story's not true. Not exactly sure which one he's talking about, But Snopes has looked at that, and they said those pictures aren't of the wall, and that whole thing just doesn't work. It's 2:30. This is WGN. Thank you, Kim. It's 2:39. We'll wrap up some phone calls here. People want to talk about the border wall, and do you want to front the cost? But just real quick, while I've got you on the line, and I said I would mention this to you. So at Nordstrom, they have a Barracuda straight leg jean. It's the Barracuda straight leg jeans at Nordstrom. It features splashes of what the department store is calling caked on muddy coating. Boy, don't no one
for the hardworking person who wants to spend their $425 on dirty jeans.
Yeah, the jeans cost $425. No one tell my dad about this because my dad's upset that A, we wear blue jeans, B, that we wear faded blue jeans, C, that we wear distressed jeans, ones that have the holes and tears properly pre-affixed to give it that distressed, cool look. He doesn't have a place for that. But if I say, no, Dad, if you really want to pay extra money, they'll actually put mud on them for you, and then it'll look like you're a hardworking guy. That is the Barracuda straight leg jean from Nordstrom's. And then when we pick him up off the floor, I'll tell him what it costs, and he'll fall over again.
Do they smell, too, for that price?
I know. That's the next. That's 2.0. That's Barracuda 2.0.
Oh, that's coming next, right.
And, yeah, they'll stink like hog manure, like you are working on an Iowa farm. It says here, heavily distressed medium blue denim jeans in a comfortable straight leg fit embody rugged Americana workwear that's seen some hard working action with a crackled, caked on, muddy coating that shows you're not afraid to get down and dirty. In fact, yes, you are. You can get those kind of jeans. Go do a day's labor. You can get caked on, muddy jeans right now. Your backyard has plenty of them waiting for you.
Absolutely. They'll be on Shark Tank soon.
Oh, my gosh. 420. Well, I think they already have been.
Were they?
Well, no. My point is you go on Shark Tank to get to Nordstrom.
Right.
They're already selling these at Nordstrom for $425. The Barracuda straight leg jeans.
Although I didn't know hardworking guys wore straight legs. Like, are they skinnies? Those would be hard to work in.
That would be sort of a mix. Make your mind. They need to be loose-fitting and dirty.
Right.
Or the skinny hipster jeans. But you can't mix the two. There's zero market for that. None of the guys on the ranch go, boy, I'd like these if they were just a little tighter around the ankles. Those guys don't exist.
Exactly.
Similarly, the hipsters, I don't think are going, boy, these cool jeans with the nice press crease would look pretty good if we had mud crap all over them. No, that doesn't happen. Okay, I'm done. It's 2:41. Let's finish with your calls. We're talking about the border wall where you'll get nice and dirty building it. So you want to upfront the cost is my question. And Elif, where did you say we go next? Who's our next call line? Two. Let's talk to Ralph. Hey, Ralph, this is John. You're on the air.
Hey, John, first of all, you should buy your father that for Father's Day, those jeans. Secondly,
keep the receipt.
Think about the guy you invite to your house to a cocktail party and he wants to sit down on your white couch.
I know. Oh, no.
Yeah. With regards to the wall, I think that our federal government already knows that we are paying for that wall. When you look at the amount of money that's spent funding the illegal immigrants that we have here in terms of welfare, educational assistance, all kinds of different things that they immediately are instructed to sign up for when they come here. We are paying for that. If someone said there was upwards of $25 to $30 billion a year. You factor in then the cost of crime, which is a very difficult thing to do, but I'm sure there's some additional monies there as well. And in incarcerating these people and what we have to do to deport them. And then also add into the cost of the crime with regards to drugs.
Yeah.
If we can improve the drug cost, cut it back by 20%, we've got more than enough money to pay for that wall. People are already paying for it, and they don't realize it.
Yeah, it's funny because I get what you're saying, and while not everybody might agree with you, I haven't heard them argue it that way, and I think they should. I think you're making some
Absolutely.
Points there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah. Thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you got in here. That's Ralph, who does not have a pair of fancy jeans. This is Casey. Casey, what did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't hear anybody mention the wildlife management areas that this would affect. And this goes to the lower Rio Grande Valley, the Laguna, what they call Astcosa, and the Santa Ana refugees. Now, they have migrating animals that go from south to north, north to south. Matter of fact, it's a $500 million business that people go down there, and they watch these animals migrate and everything to North America. This is going to devastate it. It's going to be the dumbest thing we've ever done in this presidency or any presidency as far as the eco management areas go. I mean, it's just we're going to pay $91 billion to harm nature. You know, and nobody's mentioned that, but I've read about this. And like I said, it's a $500 million business. You can have all your listeners look it up, and we're going to lose that. I'll give you an example. One is the, what do they call it? Is it the North American wolf or something? He's an extinct group of wolves that are, there's 150, 200. They migrate from.
They go back and forth between the United States and Mexico.
Yes, they do.
Illegally, I might add.
And okay, you got me there. But, I'm sorry if I seem a little bit excited about it, but I think it is just, you know, we have so many things we can spend money on and to do this, and it's like we hear from the people from Mexico, it's, you know, you're going to keep us out. Don't you think we can climb a ladder over a wall or dig a hole under it, and we're going to pay $91 billion? And when he says, oh, we're going to get the money eventually from Mexico, that will never, ever,
well,
ever
that's happen. Why I bring it up today. That's interesting. Casey, I didn't know all of that. Thanks for the phone call. But how do you get the money? Listen, we're going to upfront it, and then we'll try and get the money back. That's the question. If you are pro-wall, you also have to be pro-we pay for it first, and then we try and get the money back. Maybe like the first call said, well, we'll get it in. We'll never get a check. But know that we will have benefited by the amount it cost in reduced crime and blah, 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 blah. Hey, John, El Chapo tunnels in. This is a text from the 708 area code. Hey, John, El Chapo tunnels in, so will everyone else. There was a wall in Berlin. How did that work out? 630, how come no one wants a wall between us and Canada? 331, I still want the wall. It will be paid for by tariffs on goods and gained jobs. It's 247. Time for one more call. We'll talk about this another day. Glenn, you're it. What did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Well, John, how about this? Instead of thinking about all the bad things that have happened, how about legalizing all the people who are here illegally and give them the jobs that they already have and then tax them for it? And then ultimately, we are paying for the wall, but the illegal aliens that we're so concerned about are actually the ones absorbing the cost because we're taxing them.
You're going to build the wall, though, with that? I mean, you're still going to build the wall, right?
Well, I'm still going to still build the wall, but, you know, like everyone knows, the highest percentage of people who are coming over aren't going all the way through. They're flying in, you know, on visas
yep.
and things.
Yep. Yeah, and then they just overstay their visa. So find them, start taxing them, then take that money and directly deposit that in the wall account, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, the tax money that's coming from them that, you know, that everyone's concerned about that they're not contributing to, we finally get them to be able to contribute the taxes that everyone's worried about that we're shelling out all this money for.
That's another idea I hadn't heard. I'm telling you what, you guys, all these callers, you should go work for the Trump administration. I haven't heard these ideas bandied about. Thanks for the call, Glenn. Play that audio. Remember this lady from American Airlines? She's been in the news this week.
What's the guy's name that did that with the strong work?
The woman who had the twins and the double-wide baby stroller, the airline says. A lot of people said, how did that woman get the stroller on the airplane when they're forbidden? You can't push a baby stroller down the airline. What happens is some people will take them to the gate, and then you walk it down the walkway, and then they check it like some bags right before you walk on the plane. So they allowed her to push her kid in the stroller right to the front door of the airplane, and then as she gets off, that's sometimes where they have extra bags that they aren't going to allow on the plane. she was supposed to leave her stroller there. But no, she pushes it up over the lip of the thing. Now she's pushing. I don't know if she's ever flown before, but you never see that. You're not supposed to do that. So this woman is now pushing it down. And then they said, ma'am, you've got to get that off. And as they were trying to get her and the stroller back towards the front of the plane to get that off, all hell broke loose. Somebody picked up the stroller, tried to carry it over somebody's head to get it out. It almost hit a baby. Now she's crying. She's very upset. She's completely unglued. Not sure why. The video goes viral. The airline has to deal with it. The latest wrinkle on that is that she called Thomas Dimitrio, the same guy that's representing Dr. Dow on America on the United Airlines thing. I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about getting conked on the head in one of these flights. In fact, the next time I fly, I'm going to ask him to hit me with a ball peen hammer. I'll fall down. I'll call Dimitrio. He'll jump on the thing, get some fancy video, and then I'll be a millionaire. Or at least I'll get a first-class upgrade to Argentina. The woman seen sobbing in the viral video now has a lawyer, says the Chicago Sun-Times. It's the AP story. And it's that same guy. I think those are two really different cases. I know very little about them, but I've seen the video online. And so that's where that story is today. The airline said the woman's double-wide stroller was tagged to be checked as cargo at the door of the plane, but instead she took it into the cabin leading to the confrontation. Judy, I will say this. It's another case of everybody behaving badly. The airline should not have let her get that stroller on. But once she got it on, she should have cooperated.
Right. What's with people lately?
I don't know.
They're just being so defiant.
I know. I think that's in the culture. And now you see it percolating up on airlines. And I don't know why. And I don't know how to fix it.
We used to be so respectful. And now, no.
I don't want to sound really old, but back in the day.
No, I meant last year.
Oh.
Last year we were respectful, and all of a sudden this year.
Well, here's how far we've
come. This stuff
come.
Is happening.
And I know this is just me needling this story, and I don't need to, but once upon a time, you would dress like you were in public when you went to the airport, and certainly, and when you got on the airplane, you would not wear pajamas to get on the airplane. And jammies are more comfortable than suits. I don't want you to dress like Don Draper, but I'm just kind of amazed at how people dress when they do these sorts of things.
No and, yoga pants.
And I know that makes me sound really old, and I'm trying not to, but that's just another observation of mine here. Maybe the lady has more of a case than I know of, but if you presented to me as king everything that I now know about this story and that you now know about this story, I would say, guess what? They did it right. They upgraded you to first class to Argentina. You sit in one of those pods, you get unlimited cocktails. You came out ahead.
With twins, right?
Yeah, with twins.
Yeah.
So I think that's a win-win for everybody, and I don't think she needs another nickel out of this thing. It's my opinion.
Banished from the kingdom, is she?
Well, if she came before me, that's how I'd rule on it. Maybe time for one call. And this on line one is somebody. Hi, this is John. You're on WGN. What's up?
Hi.
Hi, that's you.
Yeah, okay, great. So I was just listening to you talk about the difficulty on airlines recently, and I just had this experience on Sunday flying back from New York where I had a piece of luggage I was trying to put above my seat, and my seatmate had already gotten there first, and he put his smaller duffel bag there first, which could have easily gone under his seat. There was only one spot left, and he refused to move it, and
really?
It was a little tense. And so the airline steward said, well, you can put your luggage in this spot farther back in the plane. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine, but I feel bad taking someone else's spot. But I did it, and then I went back to my seat, and he wanted to continue to argue, and it was really uncomfortable.
What was his point, though? I mean, we've all run into that. You hate to touch somebody else's thing up there because it's very personal to them, but sometimes you have to. What was his point?
He said, that's my spot. I got there first, and I refused to move it. And I said, well, you know, like my purse, I'm going to put it under my seat, and it's kind of like your duffel bag. You could put it under your feet so I could put my bag up there if that would be okay with you. And he said, absolutely not. I refuse to.
Yeah, and what a doof.
Right, but if I were kind of a confrontational person, it could have turned into an ugly situation, because when I came back, he wanted to continue the argument. And I just said, sir, I'm your seatmate. I'm not here to argue with you. I really want to enjoy this flight. Thank you. And I shut it down. But I could see how easily that could have turned into something terrible, and I would have been on YouTube in a second.
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you didn't. People can be jerks, Ro. I don't know if you know that.
I've never seen that.
You've not picked up on
that? I've noticed it occasionally.
In my personal or professional life, I've never noticed it.
But she's quite right. When you are on the plane and you do the overhead, mm-hmm. if somebody's thing is there and it could accommodate more stuff, you touch their thing up there to move it around to accommodate your bag.
People take it personally.
That right. is
don't
like...
touch my stuff.
I know. That's like you're touching my stuff.
Francis. Yeah, that's now that ain't right. I mean, right. I mean, first of all, when you get on an airplane, you give up all your rights, period. Your right to property, your Thank right you. To life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all of it is
and it's
over.
True, and that's why I feel so dehumanizing sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, but don't you agree, though, that we all need to sort of accommodate each other
sure,
more?
Sure, help People, each other.
We're all in this together. It's like Lifeboat. They should show that movie Lifeboat on every single flight so people get a sense. It could be a lot worse. You could just be floating in the ocean.
I think
be
it's
part
like
of
Survivor.
The on-flight instructions, right, where they do the life preserver. Now, watch this instructional video.
Exactly.
Highlights from Lifeboat.
Right. Don't all turn on each other, okay?
What are you kids up to?
Well, we're, let's see, we got...
We started a trade war with Canada. We've got to talk about that.
That'll be coming up. Susie Sunshine is going to join us from Dallas about why the markets are so on fire here.
Because 249?
Isn't that crazy?
They like the Trump tax plan, but are there storm clouds? And notice the president just pulled the wall off
I know.
The proposal.
He blinked.
He did blink. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be talking about that. And is Michael Flynn going to prison? All of that coming your way.
Oh, and then there's that.
Yes. No. And is he going alone? I guess that's going to be the question.